I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Testimony time, amen. Shall we invite our sister Ine as she comes to give us a powerful testimony? Oh, put your hands together for her, amen.
Amen. My testimony is about how listening to the Bishop Dax Good Friday prayers delivered me from an accident. So I was on my way to the store, and I was sitting at a red light, and all of a sudden, like, I hear this, like, loud screeching, and I can't see where it's coming from. And then I just, like, I kind of tense up, and then I just say, Jesus, like, help me, Jesus. And then I hear the crash. I finally hear the crash. And then I see it's two cars behind me, and they skid across the road, and then they hit, like, the curb, which hit another pole. So as my light turned green, I pulled into a parking lot, and then I parked my car, and I was on the phone, so I was like, let me call you back, so I just hang up, and then I get out of the car, and I go run to see, you know, who was in the accident and what happened, and it was two ladies, and I mean, the cars were just, well, the one car was total, and then the other car was just a trunk, but as I'm looking at the car, and I'm looking at the lady, like, nothing happened to her, nothing happened to the other lady, and the Holy Spirit says, this is the devil trying to destroy your life. And this should have been you, but I allowed my angels to help you escape. And I remember, the Holy Spirit also brought back to my remembrance that he had told me to just listen to the Good Friday prayers over and over before I went to work that day. And then while I was at work, I was listening to Apostle Joel's Your Destiny in Christ message, and he said that he wanted 10 angels around him, and I said, yeah, God, me too, I want 10 angels around me. And by God's grace, that, you know, I mean, nothing happened to me, nothing happened to the ladies. I mean, they went to the hospital for just a checkup, but, and I asked the lady, I said, ma'am, are you born again? And she said, yes, I am. I said, okay, well, God wanted me to tell you that anytime that there's a near-death experience or death in your life, like someone that you know, that is God getting your attention about something. I don't know what you're supposed to do for him, but he's getting your attention about something, and he wants you to listen. So this is your wake-up call. Be blessed. And I left, and I just kept their names in my head and just prayed for them. But Cowie, can you project the pictures? These are the pictures. Like, this is the car, and the, like, her tire had completely come off. All the windows were broken. Like, so we just thank God for deliverance. Amen.
Amen. May God also deliver you. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Nobody else like you. Nobody else like you. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother. Nobody else will do. That's why I love you. There's nobody else like you. And no one else will do. There's nobody else like you. There's nobody else like you. Nobody else like you. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, not my brother. Nobody else will. Nobody else like you.
in hard times. You've been my friend. You stood by me till the end. When all others seems to be, and I look around and you're there with me. Whenever I'm in trouble, Lord, you're there.
Lord, you're there.
You're always there.
You're always there.
Come on. When I feel like dying, oh Lord, you care.
Lord, you care.
You always care.
You always care.
Whenever I call on you, oh Lord, you answer.
You answer my
always
plea.
Answer my plea. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is nobody.
There's nobody. There's nobody else like you.
You've got.
You've got the sweetest name I know.
You've got the sweetest name I know. The sweetest
name I know.
How I love the name Jesus.
Jesus.
Oh yes.
Jesus.
Sent from above. Just to show the Father's
just
love.
Just to show the Father's love.
That's why I love you. I love you. I love you.
Nobody else like you,
and no one else will do.
And no one else will do. There's nobody else like you.
Oh yes.
There's nobody else. Nobody else like you.
Amen. Ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for it is God's power of salvation to everyone. And oh, to everyone, everyone that receives it, and he shall have everlasting life.
Is the word.
You can put your hands together.
Lying, stealing, fighting, killing, cursing, fighting. Wasting my life,
knowing me, knowing you.
We lived a life of sin and shame.
Knowing me, knowing you.
We lived a life so very far from God. What can wash us and cleanse us from all our many sins? Boyfriend, kissing, girlfriend, all day, all night, we're partying.
Oh, this is how we lived our lives. We were sinners.
Oh,
this is who we really were, wasting.
From all our many sins. said boyfriend, kissing girlfriend, all day, all night, we're clubbing. Oh, this is how I lived my life. I was a sinner. Sin and shame, knowing me, knowing you, we lived a life so very far from God. What can wash us and cleanse us from all our many sins? Only mercy and grace by the blood. Of sin and shame, knowing me, knowing you, we lived a life so very far from God. What can wash us and cleanse us from all our many sins? Only mercy and grace by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Only mercy and grace by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And today we have a pastor who is here to teach us, amen, to bring us the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we put our hands together as we welcome Apostle Joel? Amen.
Wow. Woo.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. You have to stop staring at me. Okay. All right, let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. And we thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. What can we do without the word of God? Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our path. Without your word, we're simply walking in darkness, and our feet are in danger of stumbling. But thank God for the word of God, because you bring your word and you bring your light to us. And we ask that today you will turn on the light. Let the light shine in our darkness. Let the dark areas of our lives receive illumination in the name of Jesus. Let no darkness resist the light.
Yes, Lord.
Let no dark patches in our lives resist the light of God. Let every darkness receive light in the name of Jesus. And we pray for understanding, that your word would dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Help us, O God, to live by the truth and to live by your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Clap for these amazing people. And you may be seated. Amen. Well, today's service is a wonderful service. Because by the grace of God, I'm back. Amen. Amen. And last Sunday, we were away in Oakland. And I missed you too. And but I thank God Pastor Monena was here. He was preaching powerfully. Amen. You must learn to be blessed no matter who preaches. Do you understand? Yeah, because it's the word of God. It's not the word of the person. It's the word of God. And once someone opens the Word of God, learn to be blessed by the Word of God. Because, you know, the Word of God is the last stop. If you can't be helped by God's Word, you're doomed. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's the last physician. Yes, after your mother talked to you, your father-in-law spoke to you, your mother-in-law spoke to you, your cousin spoke to you, even your landlord has intervened. You see, everyone has had a say in your life, right? Your mechanic who changes your oil has advised you, and even that didn't work. Your pizza delivery man has also done his bit. You know, your neighborhood gardener has also done his bit. You know, even the goodwill guy who came to pick up stuff from your house had a chance to throw in a counsel or two. If none of those things has worked, your last stop is the Word of God. Amen. So learn to obey the Word of God. Learn to receive it, and it's going to help you. Amen. So like I said, today we're going to have the service. It's going to be in two parts. We're going to have our regular service. Then after that, we're going to have a short pastoral appointment ceremony. Right? Yeah. It's only just about 15 minutes long, right? So I want you to stay through the whole thing and be blessed today. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Now, it's also the end of Honor Your Prophet Month, right? It's not the end of Honor Your Prophet. It's just the end of Honor Your Prophet Month, right? And so we've been talking about honoring our prophet and honoring our founder and the person that God has given us as a church, the one through whom we get to have and enjoy such a beautiful church. Amen. I really enjoy our church.
Oh, yeah.
No, I really do. I think that God has blessed us with a wonderful family. You know, you have to just start traveling around, especially. And when you're away, I was speaking to one of the ladies yesterday. She's just got back from Switzerland and Rome, Italy. And, you know, she was sharing with me how the brethren over there received her and how they, you know, drove her around and, you know, showed her places and were so nice to them. And she was so glad that she did belong to such a family. You know, it's a real blessing, amen, to have international siblings, you know, in so many different places who are willing and ready. All they need to know is that you're one of us, and they will show you as much love as they have to show. Amen. So I thank God for the Father through whom all of this is possible, right? And this month, we're encouraging all of us to sign up for his podcast. Amen. Make sure that you're on the podcast. Is there anybody who doesn't have the podcast? You don't have the podcast. Anybody here? Everybody? Okay. So at the end of the service, I'm personally going to put it on your phone. Okay. So I want everybody to have. This is Worldwide Podcast Month. And I think you're going to understand why in a moment when I share with you this message I'm about to share. Amen. Now, I'm sharing with you today about, I've called it Preserved by a Prophet. Yeah. Preserved by a Prophet. Amen. Now, let's start from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Amen. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Now, this is a very important credential because who is helping you makes a difference to what kind of help you will get, isn't it? Right? So if you're saying, if someone says that someone is going to help me, let's say you need you know, things like home goods or something like that. And then I tell you that I have a friend who's going to help. He's the manager of Home Depot. Immediately you sort of let out a sigh of relief because this is real help is coming. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you say that I have a friend, he's going to help you. He's going to help. Well, the only problem, he's going to help you with some money. The only problem is I didn't have a job, you know. That's the only problem. Then suddenly you begin to wonder if this help is going to be real at all. Oh, they say, my friend is going to help you find a job. Don't worry, he'll hook you up with a job. So I say, what does he do? Well, he doesn't have a job. he's also searching. It has the effect of reducing your faith. Do you see what I'm saying? And even though you may not tell the person, you just know in your head that your job search is not over. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So when the Bible says your help comes from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth, you are supposed to understand that so long as the scope of your problem is contained between the heavens and the earth, you are covered. Are you getting what I'm saying? The only problem probably that you may need faith for is any problem that falls outside the heavens and the earth, which you are not likely to have. Do you see what I'm saying? But if your problem even falls outside that, you will find out that in the heavens, he is Lord also. And under the earth, he is Lord also. Amen. So our help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. That means God can help you with anything that happens within the heavens and the earth. God can help you. If it's in the earth, God can help you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So learn to look up to the Lord for help. Amen. Now, he says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Amen. So God keeps us. He says, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Amen. The Lord is thy keeper. Now, if you want to understand what it means for the Lord to be your keeper, try to understand what it means for anyone to be anyone's keeper or anything, a keeper of anything, like a zookeeper. What is his job? If someone told you that his job or he works as a zookeeper, what would you expect him to do? Right? He takes care of the animals. What does that mean? What does he do for the animals? How is he different from you who visits the zoo? How is it different from you who is also looking at the same animal? You don't have any concern about the animal, right? But he is concerned about the welfare of the animal. So that includes what? What they eat. It includes what else? Their safety. It includes what? Their health. It includes what? The preservation of the environment. And it includes what? Their behavior. Right? So could the Lord be doing all these things with you? Could the Lord possibly be interested in, mention the things, could the Lord possibly, as your keeper, could the Lord possibly be interested in what? Your health, number two, what you eat, number three, what you wear, right? Your behavior, huh? Right? What you wear, the Lord, the Bible says the Lord is your keeper. Hallelujah. If the Lord is your keeper, it means you're covered. Amen. I said it means you're covered. Amen. It means no matter what, you'll be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to learn to believe that God, not your job, is your keeper. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jobs come and go, but our God is still the same. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. People come and go. The Lord is your keeper, not your new boyfriend. Amen. No, No. I mean, I know you like him, but you can't put too much faith in a man. No. You're a little confused. Just because you like him doesn't mean that he is now your keeper. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord is your keeper. Amen. So it means that if that boyfriend even checks out on you, you should still be okay. Shouldn't be the end of your life. Because he is not your keeper. The Lord is your keeper. I said the Lord is your keeper. Tell your neighbor, did you just hear that? The Lord is your keeper. Tell your neighbor, I have a feeling this sermon has something to do with you. Hallelujah. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Amen. Says the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The next verse. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So you must not be afraid of the night. Amen. And you must not be afraid of the day. Amen. Amen. God is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is with you. He will not leave you at the mercy of the elements. Amen. The sun will not smite you by day. The moon will not smite you by night. Hallelujah. Right. Then it says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. You must believe it. If it is evil, God will preserve you from it. See, I loved her testimony when she was sharing about how God preserved her. That's what God wants to do for all of us. And we can trust God to preserve us from all evil. Amen. Then it says, he shall preserve thy soul. Hallelujah. God specializes in preserving our soul. And the soul of a person is the part of the person that is alive. Do you understand? It's the part of the person that actually interacts with the rest of the world. Do you understand? The part of the person that is able to relate with others. So it's the part of you that cries. It's the part of you that feels hurt. It's the part of you that takes decisions. It's the part of you that lives. Do you understand? And the Bible says the Lord shall preserve that part of you. God will preserve your soul. God will preserve your thinking. God will preserve your emotions. Hallelujah. Your heart will not break to pieces. And you will not die out of a heartbreak. Broken heart will not kill you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Next time your heart is broken, tell somebody, I'm just temporarily disappointed. But I am okay. I'm just temporarily disappointed. But you can't break my heart because the Lord will preserve my soul. Hallelujah. Then it says in the next verse, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Right? Thy going out and your coming in. That means your movement. You know, as you go up and down, God will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You can count on him to do it forever. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, I have to mention that preservation is not very relevant unless there is the possibility of decay. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God intends to preserve us because we live in a world where we are subject to decay. The law of decay is in action everywhere. The Bible calls it the bondage of corruption. It says we all are subject to the bondage of corruption. Bondage because you are bound by it. You can't free yourself from it. And that's what everybody goes through. Honestly, any good thing you have is subject to corruption. Hallelujah. Every good thing we're enjoying, as soon as we have it, we're rejoicing. But shortly after that, corruption sets in. It's like food. When you cook food and it's fresh, it tastes wonderful and smells good and everything. You leave the same thing on the counter. You didn't do anything bad to it. You didn't do anything to it. You just left it there. Do you understand? You left the food alone. That's it. You didn't do anything bad. I'm trying to show you that decay does not require you to act badly to set in. Do you understand? But life itself and nature and the way things are, the way the world is set up today, is such that it will subject every good thing you have to decay. That is why relationships go sour. That's why people wonder whether the same person they married or the same person who attended the wedding is the same one that went home with them. Do you understand? Yeah, because you start to wonder. I mean, it looks like someone was at a wedding, but a different one went home. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, but usually it is not that you went home with a different person. It is that you went home with the same person, but decay has set in. Corruption has affected the good thing that you took home. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why one of the major things, one of the major forms of help we get from the Lord is His keeping and His preservation. Are you getting it? It's a big thing. It's a whole psalm there. Like, you know, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Because you need help. You're going to need help not just to acquire something, but you're going to need help especially to keep it and to keep enjoying it. Many times I meet people who want to buy a car and they seem to think only up to buying the car. Yeah, they only think about just buying the car. Their thoughts don't go beyond buying the car. But soon after they have purchased the car, then they start to realize that they have entered a whole new world. Even insurance on the car, they cannot even afford it. Yeah, they cannot even afford the insurance on the car. Now they have to cut corners, they have to tell lies, they have to find somebody who lives somewhere, some faraway place. Say that this car is registered to some place in Arizona, in somewhere in the bush, somewhere in some place, to try to get the lowest insurance rate, because you don't even think about it, that actually this car you would not even be able to afford it. Then the gas. Yeah. That's when you start to see that the buying of gas is like you're experiencing weekly blood transfusion. Every week, you're making a blood donation. I mean, who can donate blood at that rate? Do you see what I'm saying? So it's turning you into a mean person. Nobody can understand why you leave church early. It's just to escape before anybody can ask for a ride. You get it? Nobody understands why you never stay. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the contribution, the participation of the Holy Ghost be with you now and forever. And then you're out. Yeah. Because it's going to bring a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you're getting something, you have to think perhaps more about whether you're going to be able to keep having it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whether you're going to be able to keep the pleasure or maintain the pleasure of having it. Hallelujah. Right. So that is why God preserves us. And that is why God makes it a big thing to preserve us. Our preservation is very important to the Lord. Amen. Now, how does God go about preserving us? Because you believe in what I'm saying. I mean, what I'm teaching is nothing new, because everybody here comes from a home where they have a box dedicated to preservation called a refrigerator. Raise up your hand if you don't have one in your home. Maybe we get a donation this afternoon, right? Now, everybody has a refrigerator because a refrigerator does only one thing, which is to preserve things from going bad, isn't it? A refrigerator is how we keep things good. So God also has a way. Do you understand? God also has a way by which he preserves the good things that he brings into our lives. Amen. Amen. And according to Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13, God preserves us through a prophet. Look at it. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was what? Preserved. Hallelujah. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, he was what? Preserved. Amen. So God gives us preservation through a prophet. Amen. That's why everybody needs a prophet. A prophet is simply someone who brings the word of God to you. Someone who brings the word of God to you. Yes, he may see a vision. Yes, he may have a dream. But I tell you that prophets are a whole lot more than visions and dreams. Are you getting what I'm saying? The other day I was sharing with you how the higher prophets, like Moses, like someone like Moses, you don't even see him sharing a vision or a dream. Do you understand? Yeah. But the Bible says Moses is a prophet. Look at this verse. Let's jump to, let's a side journey. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10. He says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like Moses. So Moses holds the prophetic record. He holds the world record for prophetism. Do you understand? Yes, up to today. He says, and there arose not a prophet in Israel or since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Yeah. So you can see, and most of Moses' prophetic activity was mostly teachings. Do you understand? One of them is the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments was one of Moses' messages. Amen. Yeah. This is one of Moses' teachings. And he didn't come, and when he came, he didn't say anything or give it any kind of, you know, introduction, mystical introduction or anything. I mean, even the day he was preaching the first series, in the series, when he came, he saw the way the members were behaving. He broke the commandments. He was so angry, you know. He broke the thing. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to help you understand that God sends people into your life to save your life, to preserve you. It's not enough to get something from God. God attaches to what he gives you a way to keep having and to keep enjoying it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, because you can buy something, you can get something, you buy a pair of shoes, you need something that preserves it. You need shoe polish or you need some scuff remover or something like that to keep the shine in the shoe. Otherwise, very soon you will not like it. You understand? You will not like it. And that's what happens with people. God blesses us with things. God blesses you with a marriage. God blesses you with a relationship, even a job. But soon the shine just wears off. Do you understand? It just wears off. And you even wonder if you like it. You see, sometimes you even ask what is wrong with you. And you start to wonder whether this is the right thing for you. But it is that you have the right thing, but the right thing does not naturally keep looking right. Preservation has to be applied to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And the Bible says he preserves us by a prophet. So you can see the prophet is bringing Israel out of Egypt. That means, you know, Israel and Egypt are symbolic of a slave and a master. Do you understand? It's like a prisoner and a prison keeper, you know. So it's a place of deliverance. He brought them out of the place. And just deliverance. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But when God delivered them out of bondage, he didn't just leave them to run wild. That now you are out. So do what you like. No. When people are brought out of bondage, if they are just left to run wild, then they are going to recreate their bondage. Did you know that the people in Egypt were still running after the people of Israel? Do you know that? Yes. They were not going to leave them just to go. Listen, if God delivers you from a habit, you should not think that the devil is going to leave you and say, just now, just do what you like. He's going to try to come back after you. I tell you, Pharaoh and his people, they chased the people of Israel all the way up to the Red Sea. And even when the sea opened, look, that shows the extent of their determination. Do you understand? The people of Israel, they must have also been scared maybe, but at least they understood how come the sea had parted, because they saw how their leader was there. He lifted a rod and the thing opened. You know, this is our prophet. He's mystical already, so this is one of his gimmicks. Let's just follow him anyway. And they tried, but the people behind, they had no clue. How does the Red Sea part? But you see, sometimes your anger and the ferocious way in which you are pursuing the thing makes you ignore all the things you should be looking at. Even sometimes people are like that. You're so angry that you can't even see what you must see. You're angry, you're destroying things. You cannot understand that what you're destroying everything. But you're just so angry that all that matters now is that you're angry and your loyalty and commitment is to the anger. Yeah. And not to anything that abates it. No, you will not. You see some people blasting their bosses, not understanding the implications. You don't understand. You say, I'm going home. And you just grab your bag and you just storm out of the office. You forget that he pays for the home. You get the guy you're blasting. He's the one that pays for where you're going. Even how you get there is in his pocket. But you're so angry that that's all you see. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So the Bible says that God delivered them out of Egypt. But God understood that it's not just deliverance they need. After the deliverance, now we need to keep them delivered. That's where he gave them the Ten Commandments after that to live by. Do you understand? And he delivered those commandments by a prophet. Are you getting it? Yeah, that now that you are delivered out of Egypt, these are your rules. Wow. This is how to live in order not to get back into bondage. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, so God doesn't just deliver people. He delivers them and then he provides a way of escape from being corrupted or decaying and going back to the previous state in which they were. And that's where the prophet comes in. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So everyone needs a prophet.
Amen.
Everyone needs a man of God who is a prophet.
Amen.
Through whom God is going to deliver them and preserve them. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, how does God deliver us through the prophets? Number one, by the prayers of the prophet. Hallelujah. By the prayers of the prophet. Amen. And read Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. It says, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." Can you see that? He is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. Amen. Everybody read that line with me. It says what? "And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live." One more time. "And he shall pray for thee, and..." Ask your neighbor, "You want to live?" Tell the person, "You need a prophet to pray for you." Amen. Amen. One of the things everybody needs is the prayers of his prophets. Amen. Amen. And he said that, "Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." He is a prophet. "And he will pray for you." Now, if you go back a little bit in this passage, you will find out that it is the Lord speaking to this man. What has happened is this man has gone to, you know, take some girl, you know, somebody's wife, actually. And no other one but the prophet's wife. Do you see? Yeah. So look at this. It says, "God said unto him in a dream." Did you see that? It says, "God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." Amen. Well, it shows right there that God can help you overcome fornication. Amen. Do you understand? God can help you overcome sleeping with the wrong people. Amen. Do you understand? Yeah, sleeping with the wrong people. You see, that's a little complex, but I don't want to. Yes, yes. Yeah. Because then I have to explain. You get it? Because it's like sleeping with the wrong... Who is the wrong person? You get it? The wrong person is anybody you are not married to. Do you see what I'm saying? Anyone. So, but he likes me. So he's the right person. No, it's that's not what we are. You know. Anyway, yes. Just let the Lord. Amen. So he says, "Now therefore restore the man his wife." This is the Lord speaking to the man in a dream. And then he says, "For he is a prophet and he shall pray for thee." Now everybody defines prayer. What is prayer? Tina, do you know what prayer is? What is prayer? Can you define prayer without saying prayer? What is prayer? Talking to the Lord. Wow. All right. So if prayer is talking to the Lord, and the Lord has come, do you understand? And this person is talking to the Lord. Now, look. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 5. Look at... maybe verse 4. Verse 4. "But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord..." So that means he's praying. According to Tina's definition. You know, I think Tina is pretty sane, and whatever definition she has is good enough. How many agree that prayer is talking to God? All of you agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this man who is saying to the Lord, "Lord," and is talking to the Lord, then he must be praying.
Yeah.
What he's doing, we must call prayer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he's pleading his case because God had come to him and God told him, "You're a dead man because of the woman you've gone to take." Do you understand? You see, now he says, "You're a dead man." God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man." It means you are nothing but a dead man. Do you understand? Because God had to challenge how he was probably feeling about him. So he felt probably that he had conquered.
Yeah.
You know, just felt that, you know. Just felt that, you know, tonight I nailed it. Easy. You get it? And the Lord was trying to show him that, look, you are nothing but a dead man. You're nothing. You're nothing but a dead man. You see, and he says, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Right? So then the next verse, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous man? Look at this guy. He was going to commit fornication. He says, Lord, well, since I haven't done it, I'm a righteous man. He says, are you going to slay a righteous nation? And then look at it. Said he not unto me, she's my sister, and she herself said he is my brother. You know, then he says, in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Right? And then the Lord says to him, God said to him in a dream. Can you see, they're having dreams back and forth. Do you see? Then he says, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. That's why I'm saying God can help you stay away from sin. Hallelujah. God can help you. I don't know what you're struggling with. You see, most of the time we just love the things we struggle with. You get it? And God specializes in delivering us from our enemies, not our friends. So if you keep loving your sin, then you're not going to experience God's deliverance. The Bible says, whosoever hides his sin will not prosper. Some people hide their sin. To hide is to protect, is to preserve. And some people preserve their sin. They preserve their sin with lies and with fakery and all kinds of things. Even telling people who know about your sin not to tell others who could help you. You understand? So you're hiding your sin. Guess what? The Bible says, whosoever hides his sins will not prosper. You will not prosper. But he says, whosoever confesses and forsakes. Do you understand? Confess means to acknowledge it and say, this is it. And to forsake is to distance yourself from it, not to defend it. When you forsake, you abandon. Do you understand? It means the sin is standing on its own. It no longer has you to defend it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, it no longer has you to explain it. It stands alone. A lot of sin gets support from the one who is doing it. The one who is doing it loves it and stands by the sin and defends the sin and polishes the sin and makes the sin keep looking good and keep looking good. But if you will confess it and forsake it and leave the sin standing there by itself, God is going to take it and take it away from your life. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So anytime you tell somebody, I'm going to tell, don't tell anybody. If you tell the pastor, you're going to see. I will no longer give you a ride home if you tell the pastor. Yeah. The Bible says you're already sentenced to a lack of prosperity. Do you understand? But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them, what is God going to do to you? He says you will obtain mercy. You will obtain mercy. You see, God is not shocked by sins. The Bible says he knoweth our frame, you know, and he remembers that we are but dust. When you know what things are made of, you're not shocked what happens to them. Is it true? Yes. If you have, you know, sometimes a pair of your eyeglasses and they break, you're not shocked that they are broken. Do you understand? You're disappointed, yes, but you're not surprised that your eye, they broke. How? Nobody does that. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Or your drinking glass that it broke because it fell. It's in its nature. You know that this thing breaks. That's why your whole life you try to keep it from falling. Is it not true? Yes. So God is not shocked by your sins. He knows your frame. He knows your substance. He knows, you know, what you're made of. And, you know, our flesh. Even you don't understand why your flesh reacts a certain way. Yeah, you don't understand why your flesh likes to, you know, it gets alert like you see a naked woman. You don't intend to, but it happens. You know you have seen something. You know it. I mean, you may not say, but you know that you have seen something. Wow. Your flesh is reacting in ways that you don't even understand. But God understands. For he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are but dust. Hallelujah. So God is not surprised by what you do. He's not shocked. And you must not hide your sins. But rather, if you really want to get rid of them, you must confess and forsake them. Do you understand? Confess and abandon the sin and let the sin stand on its own. Because the sin without your defense, without your covering, without your hiding, is helpless against the power of God. The sin, your sin is no match at all for the power of God. It cannot handle the power of God. The Bible says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. It says, the darkness comprehendeth it not. You understand comprehension? Comprehension means to be able to understand it and get it. You understand? It says the darkness comprehendeth it not. It cannot handle the light. It cannot deal with the light. But your sins are surviving because you always come to their aid. You always explain it some way. You always defend it. And you don't allow direct combat with the word of God. That's why it's still there. That's why you're still struggling with it. But today you're breaking away from it. In the name of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. So go back to that verse again. I was trying to show you something very important. The prayers of the prophet. That's Abimelech. So he says, so God said in a dream, yeah, I know that thou didst, that's why I suffered thee not to touch it. Verse 7. Then God says to him, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Do you understand? And he shall pray for thee, right? And thou shalt live, okay? Then he says, and if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. You get it? God is giving him some information that there's death waiting for you. There are a lot of funerals planned in your family because of this one thing you've done. Yeah. That's, you just don't know it. But God is telling you that there's a lot of funerals are coming because of this. And God was showing him the way out. He says, you need to get that prophet to pray for you. Now, you see, the point I'm trying to make is, if prayer is talking to God and that man is already talking to God, then why is God asking him to ask the prophet? That sounds like creating some kind of spiritual bureaucracy that is not necessary. Does it make sense? Yeah? That God is there. He's the one. He said, ask the man to ask me to spare you. You ask the man to ask me to spare you. And I tell you, if you don't tell the man to tell me to spare you, then I'm telling you and this and that are all going to die. Wow. I don't know why God chooses to use a prophet and to preserve us through a prophet. But that's the way God has made it. Amen. Amen. And your life is too short to use it to try to find out why. Do you understand? Just use it. Amen. Just use it. Hallelujah. It says, restore the man. He's like, let me show you another example. You see, because I saw another place where God was telling people to listen to someone when he himself was there. You see, Matthew chapter 17. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Maybe you should start from verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. Verse 2. and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. You know, this is a very spiritual encounter, right? Then verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Do you get it? Then verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The voice has come. The voice is coming to talk to us. Why doesn't the voice just tell us what it has to say? Do you see? Why doesn't the voice just tell us what it has to say? But the voice is telling, you want to know what I want you to do? What I want you to do is to listen to this guy. So you see, when we say, get the podcast, we're not doing anything new. If there was a podcast in that day, this voice would probably be saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, get his podcast. Are you getting it? Yeah. Because this voice here is a one-time thing that is happening and is going. That is why God will establish, rather, a relationship. Are you getting it? God will establish, rather, a relationship between you and someone who is going to be with you. And then through that person. See, because preservation is a process. Preservation is a process. Even when you put something in the fridge, it's not like you just drop it in a refrigerator and then immediately it's preserved. You have to leave it there. The temperature has to change over time. The refrigerator has to have an impact on the thing, an impact that you can feel. Yeah. That when you touch the thing, you know that it's been in contact with this thing. Yeah. So preservation does not kick in without that contact. It needs to be in there and be in there for some time and allow itself to be deeply influenced by the refrigerator. Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to allow yourself to be deeply influenced by the refrigerator. Yeah. Now, that's what some ignorant people are going to call brainwashing. Yeah. So when you put your stew in the refrigerator, it brainwashes it. But it keeps it preserved.
Yeah.
Does it make sense? You see, I have a lot more to share with you, but I see that our time is up. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he says, hear ye him. Hallelujah. God gives to everyone some prophet or someone by whom you can be preserved. Do you understand? It is only the devil who tries to break that contact. Do you understand? Because he knows that with that contact broken, then he has access to you. All the things that can happen to your food on the counter do not happen to it if it's properly frozen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes when you have some of these refrigerators that don't work very well, you put your stuff in it and it's still going bad. Yeah. Yeah, your fridge that's not working properly is a false prophet. But I think about the one that I have. And I think about the one that God has given me. I mean, I have followed this man for years. You get it? 20-something years before all of these my children were born. Do you understand? Yeah, and I don't know any bad counsel he has given me. Not even one time. Not even one time. Wow. Yes, and I've watched him rise from nothing, from a church that was in a little classroom, all the way to a church that is in 80 countries, a church with more than 3,000 branches, a church with so many pastors. Even today, we're going to add to the pastors. Wow. Yeah. So whatever the number was before the service, add one. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So for me, I'm very comfortable. I'm totally comfortable with this particular prophet that God has given me. So the prayers of the prophet are important. Yeah, and that is why what she was saying, that she was playing the prayers of the prophet. Well, you know, because of technology, we are able to do a lot of wonderful things today. Yes, a lot of wonderful. Do you know that sometimes you used to have to go to the office for meetings? Now you can stay in your house and have meetings. And the meeting is equally effective. And it's the same thing. Yes, so through technology, we can have a lot. You would have had to travel to the prophet for the prophet to pray for you. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Naaman traveled all the way from Syria to get this prophet to pray for him. Do you realize when he even got there, the prophet wouldn't come out of the house? See, this is why he was annoyed. You get it? Because of what it took. You see, if all he had to do was a podcast, I don't think Naaman would have been upset. Yeah, if all he had to do was just to hit play on his cell phone, he would not. But the thing is, he had traveled from Syria and come all the way. And the prophet just sends what seems to him like a very lousy message, that go and swim. He said, go and bath. And he took it as an insult. He took it as an insult. And that was a problem. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you guys to believe in the prophet's prayers. Yes, and to play the prayers. Yes, cut the prayers in little pieces. Play them. Say amen to them. Believe them. Do you understand? It's a new way. Just before I came here, I was appointing somebody as a pastor. The person is in the island. The person is in St. Thomas. Do you get it? And I was appointing them as a pastor this morning via Skype. Now, wait. You tell me, is he a real pastor or not? He's a Skype pastor, right?
He's a real one.
You tell the person, no, your calling is Skyped. Otherwise, I would have had to fly over there just to appoint her as a pastor. And that means you guys will not have me here this morning. But thank God for technology. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Thank God for technology. And through technology, we're able to do all these things. So through technology also, you can take on prayers and claim prayers. Do you understand? And let these prayers affect your life. Believe in the prayer. Yes, believe it. Whereas you can't have the same person pray for you several times a day, through technology you can.
Oh, yes.
You can have the same person, you know, do that. Yes. You have to believe in technology. See the Bible she's using over there. And she's over there and the Bible is coming here. Now, is this the word of God or not?
Wow.
Are you sure it's the word of God? It's not affected by the computer.
At all.
Yeah, so then the prayers are the prayers.
Amen.
Regardless of when they were prayed, where they were prayed, so long as you can connect to it, you're going to be blessed by that prayer. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, the second method by which God preserves us through the prophet is by the teachings of the prophet. Is by the teachings of the prophet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The teachings of the prophet. Now, through teaching, God is able to preserve us. Amen. God is able to preserve us through teachings. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Right? For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs, that means blastings, right, of instruction are the way of life. So everybody needs some blasting. Otherwise, you're probably missing your way in life. Right? Then it says, to keep thee from the evil woman and the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Hallelujah. Now he said that something, see, he's saying that something your father and mother told you will keep you from an evil person. Did you see that? Yeah. So something your father and mother told you, something that someone taught you, is going to keep you. This is now, not, we're not even spiritualizing anything yet. People are being preserved. No one has laid hands on them. Just someone talked to them. Are you getting it? He says, it will keep you. He says, when you sleep, it will keep you. When you wake up, it will talk to you. Hallelujah. So it is a very, very important thing. And that is why God gives us preservation through the teachings of a prophet. Remember, one of the things that the prophet, that the Lord does is to preserve your soul. That means that God is going to impact your mind. Do you understand? Now, a lot of behavior is actually driven by thinking. Do you understand? People act like they think. You can't think wrong and act right. You see what I'm saying? You cannot think wrong and act right. Rather, what the scripture says is that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So he is the way he is because of the way he thinks. So when you see the way he's behaving, you are seeing the way he's thinking. Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So he says, as a man thinketh in his heart, you know, so is he. Which means then, if you're going to change how he behaves, you have to change how he thinks. And the only way to change the way someone thinks is to swap out his thoughts with good instruction. Do you understand? And you do that through teaching. Can you understand?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So God preserves us by teaching. When you look in the Bible, you see that people are affected. Even demons. Demons affect our thinking. If a demon wants to ruin your life, the demon would first, most likely, get into your mind. But you see, people are more afraid of occultic things, and people are, I mean, if you went home from church today and you saw six eggs in front of your door, you know, two of them broken, you know, in a special pattern, all broken in the same place, and you make it worse if you drop a feather on it. I would have thought that when you see eggs, the next thing you should expect is a feather. But if you went home and you saw eggs at your doorstep with a feather on it, you will not even enter the house.
No.
How many of you? You call apostle, right? Yeah. You say, no, apostle, is the service over? And I'll say, yes. He said, no, you need to come down here. I'm not entering this house. This is it. Yeah. But if you understand what the power of God is, you will know that that's not what to fear. That's not what to fear. What to fear is the subtle lacing of your thoughts with demonic inspired thoughts. The devil understands that if you can get into the person's mind, you don't have to follow him. His new mentality will guarantee his ruin. There is only one devil and many demons to help him. And if you know the math, angels outnumber demons by far. The Bible says the devil took 1/3 of the angels with him. So there's 2/3. You get it? I mean, they are short. You get it? Like they're playing a soccer match and they're playing something like, you know, 7 against 11. Do you understand? So there's a lot of overtime. The devil does not have time to follow you every single place and just put your mind and touch your hand in everything. No. What he can do is to affect your thinking. And when you affect the person's thinking, you don't have to follow the person. The person's thinking will guarantee that he's destroyed. Yes. You don't have to follow him. When I was a little boy, there were two types of cars, toy cars, you know, that we used to have. There was the kind that you have to kneel and then you have to just push and then just follow. And you just push it all around and you just keep going. And by the time you're finished, man, you know, and the floors on which we grew up, you know. That's a different sermon.
You get it.
But then, there was another kind of toy where you take and you just wind. Yeah. You wind it. Yeah. And when you wind it, you build tension in it. Right. Then you set the car down.
Wow.
You don't have to follow it. And the car just goes by itself. Yeah. I tell you, until all the wind and the tension is out, the car has no peace.
Yeah.
It's going to go, even when it hits a wall, it will try to climb it. When you try to stop it, it will go over it. Because that's, it's wired to behave like that. And until it does it, it will not have peace. Yeah. That is what the devil likes to do to people. He doesn't have time to crawl around and follow you into your marriage, into this place. Ah, he has too much work to do. So he gets into your thinking, tries to keep you away from the word of God. Your wrong thinking is guaranteed to ruin your life. A lot of people are divorced already. They are just not married. I mean, they are not married yet. That's why they are not divorced. But the way the mind is programmed now, the day they get married, from that day, they will start their journey out of it. Yeah, because the way you think, the way you have grown up to think, it does not support living with someone in the context of marriage. It will not work. You just don't have one yet. That's why you don't know that you're sitting on a bomb. Does it make sense? Yeah, that's, what I'm saying is true. That is why soon after people marry, then it's like all hell breaks loose. What do you think happened? Nothing happened. Just a new circumstance. Then when they applied their normal thinking, you get it? It's like it's a dormant mentality, you see, which has not been activated because it has doesn't have relevance to your present circumstances, but it's there. Yeah. That is why one of the greatest blessings is all this teaching and preaching and so on. Look, when you're listening to preaching and they talk about marriage or something, if you're not married, you don't tune out. That's God's way of preparing you. Do you see? Yes, and wiring you properly before you ever get into such a situation. And you see, when people are properly prepared, they need less maintenance. Yeah, they need less maintenance. There's just a lot of things just snap into place. Once they find themselves in the circumstance, they just know what to do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Demons influence mentality. Look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. The Bible talks about a man who had so many demons in him. And it says, this man, he sees, look at this. It says, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. Did you see? Everybody say he had devils. He had devils long time and wear no clothes. Do you see how demons are influencing his dressing? Right? Then he says, neither abode in any house, but in tombs. Do you see? Right? Then this man comes to Jesus, verse 28. He saw Jesus. He cried out. He fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, thou son of, you know, and so on. Now go to verse 35. After verse 35, the demons have left him. See? And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed. Say, the devils are out. Say, the devils are out. Now look at it. He is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you remember that in verse 27, the Bible says he could not abide in any house. He could not stay in any place. Totally restless. One of the effects of demons on people is restlessness. Can't stay in one church, can't stay in one job, can't stay in one relationship, can't stay in one. They're just restless. Always on the move. And look at this man. For the first time, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, the next thing is that he's wearing clothes. Because in verse 27, he had no clothes. Do you get it? Yeah. And then look at it. The cure. In his right mind. Can you see that? Yeah. So now we understand how come a full-grown man was walking outside naked. Because he was not in his right mind. He was not in his right mind. Demons influence mentality. Demons influence the way people think. So you see, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then it says, casting down imaginations. Do you get it? And then bringing thoughts, capturing thoughts. You have to arrest a thought and put it in handcuffs and bring it to obedience of Christ. You bring the thought and then you superimpose what Christ says on that thought and you make that thought obey what Christ says. That's the process of affecting people's lives. Look at it. So nobody told him, go wear clothes. He just now thought differently about clothes. Do you get it? Yes. He just now thought differently. Before, he thought it was fashionable just to. That's what he thought. But as soon as he started thinking correctly, suddenly he said, oh. You know, then he started looking for clothes. And he started to wear clothes. So you see, in his right mind, which means all along he was not in his right mind. You know, another good example is the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. Look at this verse. Well, maybe you should go to go back up. 15. 15. Or verse what? 11. A certain man had two sons. Quick. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance. Do you see? In riotous living. You see, but nobody knows what's going on here. We just know that it's awkward. Something is wrong. You get it? Then, in the next verse, 14, when he had spent all, he's broke, right? So, There arose a mighty famine in that land. Then he began to be in want. Verse 15, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You get it? Now he's hit rock bottom, low. Verse 17, right? When he came to himself. So now, all this time, he's not himself. Do you get it? You don't know why the person is behaving that way. You don't understand. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you take just the little money you have and do this and that and that? People act in ways that shock us all the time. What we don't know is that the guy is not himself. Do you understand? He's not in his right mind. He's not himself. Demons have taken hold of his thinking, and now he has become nothing. And look at the outcome. The outcome confirms that evil spirits. Wow. Says, look at the last line. I perish with hunger. He's now about to die of starvation because of his thinking. This is what God is trying to preserve his people from. That is why God will send you someone to teach you. You can, as soon as he comes to himself, he starts to, again, not to cast out some imaginary devil, but just to analyze and rationalize. His thinking has changed. So sometimes you change your life by just changing your thinking. A lot of sermons are a major deliverance service. Like what I'm sharing with you this morning is a deliverance service we're having. Yes, I may not lay hands on you or come and pray for you to fall on the and roll and so on. I mean, a lot of people fall under the power and roll around and just get up and go do the same thing they were doing before.
The mind. The senses.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
The body fell, but the mind is the same. So when you get up and you recover and the service is over and you're yourself, you just go right back to doing the same thing.
Wow.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he came to himself and he starts to think, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with hunger. Then he says, I will arise. Look at it. And I will go. You see, I will arise and I will go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I messed up. Do you see?
Yeah.
It says, Father, I sinned against heaven and before thee. Now he's going home. He's thinking. Look at it. When he's himself, he doesn't want to leave his house.
Wow.
When demons are acting on his mind, he thinks his house is the worst place on earth. He thinks the people who are thwarting his progress are the members of his family. He thinks his father is against him, his mother is against him, his siblings are against him. That is wrong thinking. But when his mind is back, when the demons have stopped acting on his mind, he's reversing everything he did. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? So you can see that through teaching, your thinking can be influenced. When your thinking is influenced, your life will be influenced. That is why God gives people a prophet.
Amen.
You get it? What Moses did for the people of Israel was just to give them an alternate way of living, giving them instructions and teachings and new things to do, something to do, to change how you live. Hallelujah. Because if you change your thinking, you change your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right? My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Did you see it says my people? That means God's people, isn't it? But they are still destroyed. Do you see? That it's not enough to say I'm a child of God. You're not exempt from distraction just because you say you're a child of God. But if you don't have knowledge, do you understand? But knowledge, it comes, God has a source. God, Jeremiah 3:15, he says, I will give you, look at it. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yeah, it's not from CNN. No, this is pastors. He's giving you a prophet.
Amen.
Yeah, see, if you don't have sufficient knowledge, some idiot can just trick you out of your inheritance and sort of rename good things and give it a bad name, and you start to throw away something that God has given to you for your preservation. Yeah, something that God has given to you for your preservation. I look at the young people of today, they need to hear Bishop more than anything in the world. I don't know any preacher who is preaching to young people today whose message is relevant to a young person. I'm talking about anybody who is a teenager all the way up to even people in their 30s, 40s. I mean, you're talking about someone who has a message that is custom made for people who are now building up their lives. Oh, man. I don't know what else. Yeah. But what I'll say to you is that don't take lightly that verse I showed you, which said that a voice came from heaven. And when that voice came, that voice did not teach them what to do. The voice told them who to listen to. The voice said, this is my son. Hear ye him. Listen to him. Listen to him. This guy is going to help you. Hallelujah. I pray that God will help us all not to despise the provision he has made for us. Amen. Amen. When you look in the Bible, you see people's lives were changed. A widow entertained a prophet and her financial troubles ended. Somebody's child, dead child was raised. Dead child. Dead means not responsive. Yeah, if you have a child who doesn't listen to you, he's dead. Yeah, when people are dead, basic characteristics is non-responsive. Yeah, when you say get up, he won't get up. Sit down, he won't stop. Don't go, he'll go. It means dead. It means you have no influence on the child. That's death. But that woman's dead child came to life. Now when she would call him, Tommy, yes, mommy, and he starts coming. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? I think it's enough preaching for a Sunday, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I believe that God has given us a good prophet. We are blessed to have this man of God. We're going to listen to him. Amen. Recommend him. And you know, listen to him. Listen to him. And be humble when you're listening to these messages. Hallelujah. If the message seems to, you know, face you, you get it? Because sometimes what you need is someone to face you. Yes. Yeah, because some of us are tough. And we need strong facing. You see what I'm saying? When it seems to face you, you must not be offended. Jesus said that blessed is he who is not offended in me. That means blessings are blocked by offense. Do you see? Yeah. You are listening to a message and then you're offended, you know. It cuts you off right there from that point on. The blessing that is supposed to be yours, you can't have it. Hallelujah. Amen. I see God changing our lives through teaching. Amen. God is going to change our lives. God is going to change our thinking. And the more our thinking changes, we're going to find that we will enjoy life more. You have more peace. You have more peace. Honestly, you start to have more peace. Your life will run smoother. There'll be fewer interruptions. You get it? There'll be fewer of those kinds of things. At least you start to have peace because the way you think has changed. Can I have an amen? Right. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. Just bow your heads, everybody, and let us pray. Let us pray. Let's pray. I want you to close your eyes and pray and talk to God. Everybody, just talk to God and say, Lord, I thank you for your preservation. Thank you for your preservation. Thank you for preserving me. Thank you for preserving me. Thank you for the provision you have made, the prayers, the teachings, the declarations. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Everybody pray and just thank God and say, Lord, help me not to throw stones at my prophet. Help me not to throw away the voice that you have brought into my life to speak to me, to address me, to speak to my life and speak into my life and speak to the issues in my life in the name of Jesus. Pray, everybody, and say, Lord, I surrender. Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus, for the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon that right hand, upon that right hand. Know the sun, know the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul, even forevermore. Sing my help. My help. My help. Come on, everybody sing. My help. Ooh, my help. All of my help
and all of my help cometh from the Lord.
I will
lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help.
My help?
My help cometh from the Lord. The Lord which made heaven and earth.
He will not,
he said, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord that keepeth thee,
he will not slumber,
he will not slumber nor sleep. The keeper, the Lord is thy shade. Upon that right hand, upon that right hand. No, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
Shall preserve your soul.
He shall preserve your soul.
Oh,
even forevermore. My help.
Your help for that marriage.
My
your help for that job. Your help for your health. Your help for your future. It comes from the Lord.
All of my help cometh from the Lord.
Sing my help.
My help.
Yes, my help. My help. My help.
My help. All of my help cometh.
Sing it for the last time. My help. Come on, my help.
My help, oh my help.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All of my help comes from the Lord. God will help you. God will help you. He has already taken that first step. That is to throw a prophet into your life. To throw a prophet into your life is the beginning of God's help. God is going to help you. God will help you. God has help for your finances. God has help for your health. God has help for your relationships. God has help for your marriage. God has help for your single life. God has help for your life. No matter how the curves are thrown at you, God has help for you. And I want you to embrace that help today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for the help of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. As we close the service this afternoon, maybe you're here and you know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, that if you die today, you're not sure if you'll go to heaven or what will happen to you. God wants to help you today. I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Could you raise up your right hand and I'll see it and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that who wants to give your life to Jesus today? Is there anyone who wants to begin a new relationship with God? Or maybe you have given your life to Jesus before, but you have not been serious about it and you know it. You've not been serious. You have not lived like a Christian, or you have tried to live life like a Christian, but it has not worked. God wants to help you. God wants to help you. Is there anyone here who wants to give your life to Jesus? Anyone here like that today? Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus. Everyone, even on the internet, everywhere, everyone, let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. Say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to come to the Lord's table this morning. We want to have communion. So bring one to everyone. Bring one to everyone. Grab one.
In the Spirit we are and will live forever. Oh, sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather table of the Lord, eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shout together song of love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Eat his body, drink his blood. Jesus said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He says, you have no life in you. There is no power in you. There is no life in you. That is why we do this every week. Amen. I want you to take the bread. Father, we sanctify these elements in the name of Jesus. We redeem the bread, redeem the wine. And Lord, we pray that your power shall enter these feeble elements and cause them to come alive and become what they are supposed to be. The body of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. Life to the dead. Life to every dying situation in our lives. Resurrection, oh God, to everything that is dead. And every good thing that is not functioning like it should. In the name of Jesus, let life come back. Let life come back. Let sickness be healed. Let sickness be healed. Let this be medication for our bodies, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let doors that have closed begin to reopen. Let opportunities that we have missed begin to find us again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We call forth opportunities. We call forth life. We call forth provision. We call forth miracles. Financial miracles. Health miracles. Preservation from accidents. And deliverance from evil, O God. In the name of Jesus. We declare that when the angel of death shall come to our neighborhood, he shall not find us. He shall not find our doorstep. Amen. He shall not find our homes. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for life-giving provision such as this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Take this, say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink it. Far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. How I loved,
and how I loved that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain.
I will cling to the old rugged, I will cling
to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown.
May the Lord's blessings be upon you, upon your household, upon all that are connected to you, whether by jobs or by family relationships. May they be blessed because of you. Amen. May the blessing on your life extend to everyone who is connected to you. Amen. in the name of Jesus. May you be delivered from evil this week. May the Lord preserve thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's